And good morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio on KBOO in Portland. It's 8:06. I'm Lynn. My co-host Anya is here. She's going to be back in the studio in just a second. She had to give some numbers to the engineer, had a flat tire this morning. It's live radio, folks. This is how we do it here at KBOO. We are really fortunate to have an in-studio guest, David Osborne, with the Portland Action Lab, is here this morning. We're going to be talking about all manner of things. There was a huge day of action on Leap Day on February 29th. And there's this thing called ALEC that a lot of people don't know about. It's a pretty well-kept secret, don't you think, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. It was Mike Pokin, a Democratic state legislature from assemblyman from Wisconsin, said ALEC's a speed dating service for lonely legislatures and corporate executives. But what does this all mean?
Yeah, so ALEC, or the American Legislative Exchange Council, is an organization that's been around for about 40 years, but it's only really come to light in the last few years. And really, you know, on Wednesday, that's part of what we were trying to do as well, is to really bring ALEC out of the shadows and into the light. And basically what it is an organization. It's a nonprofit with a membership and board that reads like a Fortune 500 list. And it is a group.
It's a nonprofit.
I know.
That's lovely. For them. That is the strangest way to do nonprofit, huh?
It's pretty strange, especially when you fully look at what they're doing. But basically what they do is they create model legislation, which is a nice way of saying legislation that serves the interests of corporations and serves to create corporate profit rather than general well-being and rather than the interests of people. And then they take that
model. So they actually write the legislation for the legislators, right?
Yeah. Right. So there's two members. There's the corporations that are members, and then there's the state legislators. And yeah, they literally write the legislation, and then they give it to the state legislators, and who, through the kind of institutionalized bribery that constitutes our political system, take that then and pass it into law. And, you know, some notable examples that folks are really familiar
with. How fast and easy and streamlined.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, you know. It's certainly fast and easy and streamlined for those kinds of interests.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point. And, you know, just as a couple of, like, really notable examples to give a kind of sense of how much this organization has done without us knowing about it is SB 1070, the anti-immigrant law in Arizona, is rooted in model legislation. In that case, the Corrections Corporation of America, which is one of the largest private prison operators in the country, in other words, putting people in jail for profit. So the more people that are imprisoned or in deportation facilities, the more money they make. A very problematic logic and dynamic to that. Mm-hmm. Also, Wisconsin Act 10 in Wisconsin that took away the collective bargaining rights of public employees was also rooted in ALEC model legislation. Governor Scott Walker is a proud ALEC alum. And so in just those two examples, I think you can see some real sense of the different ways, the different issues, anti-worker, anti-labor, anti-immigrant, racist ways that ALEC interacts. Also very much involved in anti-environmental work and many other things.
And so are you the guy that came up with the idea of F-29, or how did that come about?
No,
F-29 was a huge action that happened a couple days ago, and all over the country.
Right. So Occupy Portland made a national call on January 1st of this year, asking, and Portland Action Lab, I should state, is it's the direct action spokes council that's organizing as part of the Occupy Portland movement. And we
have a great website.
We do have a great website, portlandactionlab.org, if you're interested about getting involved in the future. And basically, we had a group of us came together, you know, had been brought together, or had previously been working together, and organized the Occupy the Banks Day of Action on November 17th last year, which some folks may recall, which we went and
it was very successful.
It was a very successful day.
I belong to a credit union. They had to stay open an hour later that Saturday. The vice president was coming down to open new accounts, and
great.
I was really glad to see that.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So we, after that experience, because it was a very empowering day of action, and really brought home the message, in particular in that case, about the role of financial institutions in not only causing the financial crisis and economic crisis, but also more fundamentally submerging our democracy, our political system. And we continue to work together and kind of you know, began to identify as the Portland Action Lab. And, you know, as a group of us that were thinking about, you know, what do we work on next? How can that be intentional and escalate or build the movement over time? And we really saw Alec as a really an extraordinary representative of this kind of failed system that we are confronted with, that that has come and put profit and greed as dominant primary over everything else. And it really also embodies the way in which corporations subvert our democratic system very, very fundamentally. And so in that way, Alec, in addition to also having all these different issues intersected, I mean, people, depending on what they're passionate about, can connect with work against Alec because Alec has affected them. So it's very powerful in that way as well. And we really...
And so many people don't know about it. That to,
exactly.
To get them, they don't even know that it connects them yet. So the information that you guys brought up about this, I thought was very powerful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so we decided to focus, you know, on corporations that are part of ALEC as opposed to corporations more generally, to give it a bit of more focus and to allow for the opportunity for a kind of medium-term goal, something that we as a movement could really focus on and I think can really impact in a very significant way, a very serious way, delegitimize the organization and get it out of our democracy and sooner rather than later is totally possible. And it's those kinds of things that we need as we are involved here in this longer-term, more transformative social change movement. And so Alec, I think, is important, as other things will be in the future, to allow us victories, allow us steps on the path to building a more just and sustainable society.
A very fine goal, I must say. I am Lynn. I'm going to be here with Ani pretty soon. She's going to be in here. We've got some phone numbers for some other folks around the country who have been, who worked on F-29. This is KBOO Radio. It's 8:13 and in the morning. And it's this here is a call-in show. If you have questions, I would love to hear comments from folks that were at the action about their experiences. Our phone number here is 503-231-8187. Or if you don't feel like talking to anybody yet, you can email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. Hey, Brian from Connecticut. Is on the line, so I hear. Is he? It sounds like he's in a washing machine. Anyway, so Dave, what's one of the things, I don't know if people saw pictures of the action, were those yellow umbrellas, and I've heard questions from a lot of people saying, where did those come from? What were those things?
Yeah, we had an incredible group of people.
It couldn't be more Portland to have artists do umbrellas for an action in Portland.
it turned out to be, as one might expect, a very good idea. We predicted the future with bringing those umbrellas.
With great accuracy.
Yes.
You did.
You know, the perils of planning an action in February. We had an incredible team of artists working on this action. It's actually, I would say, I've done this work for some time, and the artwork, the banners, the umbrellas, the graphic design, the puppets, it was probably the best I've ever seen for a kind of mass mobilization or action like this. And the umbrellas, you know, there were these different eyes on them. If folks didn't see them, it created this beautiful kind of sea of yellow in the streets. And the symbolism was really powerful for me. I mean, it's this, that, you know, bringing Alec out of the shadows, it's this kind of this idea of seeing, of really gazing and taking in and looking at something intentionally so as to change it. And actually, each of the eyes was derived from significant social justice and environmental justice activists and people that have been involved in social change. I thought that was really amazing as well.
It did make for a really great visual.
Ani is
morning.
Here.
I was just going to slip in seamlessly, like people might not have noticed.
No, no, I thought we should
maybe
I'd
just been quiet.
Yeah, that's always good radio. Yeah, okay.
I'm just feeling a little quiet this morning. No, actually, we should have, if
I've
the
heard
fates
rumors
are with
that
us,
we have Brian on the phone.
We have people from around the country lined up to talk with us before 9 this morning. So let's check in with Brian. Brian, good morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Excellent. So, Brian, you are an organizer with Occupy Worcester and Occupy Connecticut, yes?
Yes, I'm in Occupy Worcester, Massachusetts, and I live in Connecticut and do a lot of activity with the Connecticut folk down there, yes.
Excellent. Can you go ahead and let us know what was happening in Connecticut yesterday? Let our listeners in Portland and actually around the world by the internet know a little bit more about what folks at Occupy Connecticut were focused on for the day to shut down corporations.
Okay. We had a discussion and decided to do an action against Pfizer, which has a large and major research and development facility in a town called Groton over in the southeast part of the state.
Uh-huh.
And there were Occupy groups from around the state, such as Hartford, New Haven, Danbury, Willimantic, New London, et cetera, that came along and supported an action.
And
Pfizer... So what we did was we gathered in a park about a mile and a half from the main gate of the Pfizer facility, and then we did a roughly 4 to 5 mile march around the compound.
Can you...
And then... Well,
can you let our listeners know why you targeted Pfizer?
Pfizer is a part of the ALEC list. They are a major contributor to ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council.
Mm-hmm.
You have some familiarity with them? Or?
Yeah, we have been speaking about them this morning and previously on this show. So, all right, okay. I think that's fair enough. So there you are, targeting, and your action was, you directed a march around their compound, you say?
Yes, we started, we did a march around their compound, their research and development facility, and then around noon our time, we had 7 people walk up to the main security gate and was asking to speak with a representative of Pfizer about their relationship with ALEC. We had done this at every single gate entrance around the compound, but they went back to the main gate for a second time. It's like, yeah, we've been waiting 2 hours now. We'd like to speak to a representative. And Pfizer had refused. So the 7 people that were at the gate speaking had locked arms and were eventually arrested for criminal trespass charges.
And but they had locked arms in front of the gate after being refused to speak with anyone.
Correct.
About how many people came to your action overall?
There was somewhere between 75 and 100, and we had supporters from all around Connecticut, plus a handful from Rhode Island and from Massachusetts.
That's great to hear. I think it's important to sort of have opportunities like this to hear what other occupies in other parts of the country are doing so that we can all see ourselves as part of this larger whole. So, Brian, thank you for taking the time this morning to talk with us on Positively Revolting.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. So hopefully in a little while we will also hear from Salt Lake City. We could hear from Occupy Wall Street in New York City, and hopefully even Phoenix. So we got a fairly full show lined up. Let's go ahead and David, I just wanted to ask. So Portland again, slogging weather, really kind of wretched, but still 1,000 people turned out. Street theater happened. And the mood stayed very engaged through what had to be one of the longer marches I've been on in quite a while. What do you think that says about the readiness for the message and people's wanting to find something creative to do about the situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it speaks to how much it resonates with people, both here and around the country, and how much there is a desire. I mean, how many people have been activated and empowered already over the course of this kind of movement activity over the last 4 or 5 months, and how many are still like coming new. I mean, I had an interesting conversation kind of later on in the evening with someone randomly that just came up to me and thanked us for the opportunity we had created for them to take action and be empowered to do so. And that to me is always really, really exciting, because that's how this movement builds, and that's how we create a kind of collective power that can really challenge the status quo in a way to create this better world, this more just and sustainable world, which is so absolutely essential to a livable future. And I think, you know, the march was really long and that was amazing. I think it also speaks to the desire for a different kind of style of action. I mean, you know, we didn't have a permit for the march. We didn't announce our route ahead of time. There was some contention from the police about that whole process. There was attempts to block us from moving through the street at several points early on in the march, and people were able to kind of push through and hold the street in a really powerful way.
I was really impressed by that. I was watching that, and nobody panicked. Everybody just knew. It's like people have been doing so many more marches now. They're getting to understand how to deal with the police in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that I thought that was empowering, amazing. And my other thing is that I think I was wanting to, I was like watching people, the march myself, and on live feed. And I just, don't you think that really helps bring people in? And because Ani and I have been in a grocery store one time, and someone went, because Ani has facilitated general assemblies, and they go, "Hey, liked what you were doing up there." And, you know, we're used to being on radio, so people don't know what we look like.
It was unusual.
But I that's just a piece of technology that I think is really helping the movement at this particular point. I don't know about you. How do you feel about that?
I mean, yeah, I think definitely the way in which we not only go to those media outlets that are pre-existing, whether those are mainstream corporate media, independent or alternative media, but also are creating so much media and having live streaming happening from across Portland. You know, there was like something like 10 different people with live stream feeds that were embedded throughout the march and just switching channels mm-hmm. the entire time, as well as, you know, we have a media van that's been for all the major actions, or people are in the van near the site of the action, live blogging. People are, you know, running over with photographs and video and dumping it onto computers to immediately have it up there.
Major media were coming by and asking the live feed people questions
mm-hmm. yeah.
about who was arrested, who was that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
I think it's really powerful, and I think that it's another way. It's a kind of another way to have a megaphone or to amplify both what our political message is and what we are trying to do as a way to engage and bring people into this movement, but also to highlight and make sure that different things are captured, whether that's a police brutality or other things as well. It's really, really important in that regards.
Excellent. Do we have?
I don't know.
We have Justin from Salt Lake ready to join us right about now to tell us about their action yesterday. Good morning, Justin.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks very much for joining us here on Positively Revolting, KBOO Talk Radio in Portland. And we hear that Salt Lake City turned down an action yesterday, to shut down corporations and bring attention to the work of ALEC. Can you describe for our listeners what Salt Lake did?
Of course. Once again, thank you for having me. We also kind of decided to have a desire had in Salt Lake City for a little bit more of a different action. You know, a little less of waving signs, a little less of yelling at buildings, a little more creative. We went to the belly of the beast, to our Capitol Rotunda, and orchestrated a little political theater. We had a debutante ball. And for anyone who doesn't know what a debutante ball is familiar with the concept, it's an old custom where in certain cultures where women weren't introduced to the community until a certain age, until they were 16, like a quinceañera.
Mm-hmm.
This was the time when they had a exorbitant ball and would introduce these members to the community. So we introduced corporations involved with ALEC, represented by debutantes in drag, that are partnered up directly with their legislative partners. So we started naming names. We had CCA Monsanto and Connections Incorporated, three companies highly involved in a triumvirate of terror with Steven Sandstrom, Keith Grover, and Howard Stevenson. They are involved in anti-immigration bills such as HB 497. It's a somewhat so-called friendlier version of SB 1070 in Arizona here in Utah, but allows the same basic liberties and requirements of show me your papers here in Utah that we've had to face, as well as anti-collective bargaining immigration, anti-collective bargaining bills, and the privatization of education, all of which is coming from model legislation from ALEC conferences. So we had this wonderful farce of political theater in the Capitol Rotunda as our legislators were breaking for sessions, naming names and embarrassing them. And we had a few speakers from the Dream Team. There was a national movement in favor of the Dream Act, in favor of amnesty, and against anti-immigration bills that are popping up based on ALEC legislation bills around the country. And so we had some speakers from them, as well as from the American Federation teachers, to kind of articulate a little bit more of our message. We had little flower girls that were handing out our literature and propaganda directly to the legislators during this whole process. And once the whole event was over, we had a wonderful march directly on our legislative session as they were in break, almost making it into the chamber, and then getting nicely escorted out by our state troopers. It was a wonderful action. It was very community building. It was wonderful energy here for Salt Lake. And
How many people did you have at your action?
We had about 30, 40 people directly that was Occupy Salt Lake. There was also a human dignity rally that we had a little support from a local group in Salt Lake that promotes lesbian, gay, and bisexual, transgender community rights here in Utah. Very strong community of people. They're up against a lot with things like Proposition H and the church that has a majority say of how things are run here in Salt Lake.
Right.
They've had a wonderful battle against that. So they came in, supported us. We were in support of them with Equality Utah as well. So it was a wonderful day of protest in the Capitol Rotunda.
It's great to hear from you, Justin. And I gotta say, you know, the idea David had just mentioned, people are interested in doing something a little different, a little new, that sort of hunger for creativity and street theater and spectacle.
And we were very excited to get jump onto this opportunity to start calling out ALEC and naming names with ALEC about this is one of the strongest mechanisms within which corruption is drafted into our Constitution, drafted into our governments. And to actually kind of start mentioning that this is the mechanism by which our democracy and our rights and our voice is taken from us is a wonderful thing. And here in Salt Lake, we actually have the annual conference of ALEC is coming here from July 25th to the 28th. So
what a wonderful opportunity for you.
Exactly, exactly. Just right to the belly of the beast. We're going to have a wonderful time raising awareness. We should have a national call for action coming out in the next week to hopefully get some support for, just the larger community as a whole, the larger Occupy movement as a whole, and, just us as an international community. We cannot allow this kind of corruption to continue.
All right. Thank you very much, Justin, for joining us this morning.
Of course.
Take care.
Thank you for having me.
And we have some local callers as well.
Let's go ahead and take them.
All right. LJ, I believe, is on the line.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you talk about revitalization. This old activist is starting to feel his oats.
You're feeling revitalized, are you, LJ?
Oh, God, honey, am I ever. Now, it's my understanding that there's going to be a meeting today at the Friends House over on 60th and Stark for us elders. Is that information accurate?
I don't know.
I understand the meeting is going to be from 3 to 5 today.
I heard about that. I wasn't sure what day.
I'm not sure where.
At the friend's house. I know.
Know that part?
That part I know. Okay. We're going to look it up here on the internet.
The
3
to 5 sounds familiar to me. How's that? It seems likely. Yes, dear?
I heard it on KBOO on Wednesday. Jay Spiemeyer.
Then it must be so.
Yeah, Jay Spiemeyer did...
Yes.
Announced that, and I just wanted to remind all of you active seniors that this is not a young person's fight. We all have a dog in this fight, and it's time for the seniors, that wonderful granny group and other seniors to get involved in this action. We have to change the culture of this country. Our democracy is totally compromised. Our democracy is for sale.
LJ, it's been sold. It's beyond for sale.
Well, yeah, but there is a way perhaps to...
Absolutely. It doesn't mean you can't rebuild. Do returns.
Just a real quick quote. This country isn't broken, honey. It's fixed.
Oh, nicely done.
Thank you.
I have to say I enjoyed very much talking to a fellow last night. I was facilitating the Spokes Council and talked to a man who is engaged now in the Elders Caucus, who said that they were actively recruiting during the action on Wednesday, and that, again, people are feeling sort of a revitalization and need to re-engage. And I think that is awesome. I do remember, in fact, he said, yes, in fact, there is a meeting today, but I don't actually remember the details, and I seem to have left my written notes at home.
It's going to be from 3 to 5 today at the Friends Meeting House over at 60th and Stark.
Awesome.
Be there or be square.
Awesome.
Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks, LJ.
Thanks, LJ. Thanks for the information. Thanks for being LJ. And look at that. It's 8:33 in the morning.
We are still positively revolting. I'm Lynn. I'm here with Ani, and we're here with Dave Osborne in studio from the... why am I blanking on you? The Portland Action Lab. Thank you very much. And we've got callers. Before we get to our caller, let me remind you the number is 503-231-8187. And I think we have Jim on the line.
All right. Well, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello,
Jim. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've been listening to your conversation about the demonstration or Occupy event. I believe it was directly against the bank. Or Wells Fargo or something?
It was... Wells Fargo was one of the several corporations that were focused on during Wednesday's action in Portland.
So then your answer is yes, it was directed against Wells Fargo.
No, that would be only partial answer. Wells Fargo was one of the businesses.
Okay, we won't put a hair here. So you caused them to stay open or to work an hour later... You blocked the doorway, probably. You had live streaming with the observers. You had street theater. And you had some local media people looking and asking questions.
So Jim, what's your point?
What?
Can you get to the point? Because we've got...
yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. And you call that empowerment?
David, what do you have to say? It sounds like, first of all, it sounds like Jim...
How is that empowerment?
Okay, hold on a second. We're going to get to your question. It sounds like, Jim, probably I'm going to guess, Jim, you weren't actually there or a part of things because I'm hearing you say things like, was this something that you did? And you probably blocked the door or something like that. So first of all, I want to ask David, who was involved in organizing the day's actions, how exactly... businesses were selected, and what happened at Wells Fargo? Just so, Jim, you have some full information before you take off, because I think it's important to dialogue.
The information really isn't that tricky to understand.
Well, okay, so let's go ahead and go ahead and dialogue.
Go ahead and tell me how that's empowerment.
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer that, Jim. First, these were all corporations involved in the American Legislative Exchange Council, and Wells Fargo was in particular chosen because of its involvement in the Corrections Corporation of America, which is one of the largest private prison operators in the country. We could talk a lot about that. But I do want to speak directly to the empowerment piece and also to the kind of disruptions or, you know, a thing like that. And you know, we take that very seriously. I mean, yes, traffic was affected. There were some I would say, minor disruptions in people's kind of schedules downtown. And I think that's important because we face extraordinary challenges and problems in our society. And I think that those disruptions pale to the real disruptions in our society, which are 50 million people without health care, homes being foreclosed across this city, families being put onto the street. I mean, those are the real disruptions in our society. And actions like on Wednesday are a way in which we can focus our energy on those, begin to confront them. And in the streets, I think we often, when we're faced with these things, whether it's loss of health care, loss of job, unemployment, you know, the ecological crisis, poisons in our food or our water, it can be overwhelming and it can kind of push us alone and away from one another. But when we come together like we did Wednesday and take action together and begin to push back on those problems and to create solutions for them, that's an extraordinarily powerful and empowering experience and can be transformative as we begin to work together in a cooperative way to solve these issues that are confronting us that must be addressed.
Jim, are you still there?
I'm still here. Okay. How did you create solutions? Let the man talk, please.
How did we create solutions?
Yes, what were the solutions you created?
Well, one of them would be to suggest and to push back on the American Legislative Exchange Council and say that it has no business in our democracy and that these corporations that we stopped at in downtown on Wednesday should get out of that organization and also get out of our democracy and let the people of this country, this city and this state make the decisions that affect our lives and not try and make those for us. And hundreds of thousands of people on Wednesday and throughout the rest of this week as the kind of coverage of this continued to reverberate, now are having conversations about this organization and about more widely the role of corporations in our democracy and asking fundamental questions about, is that appropriate? Who should make those decisions? How are we able or not able to really control our lives in this current moment? And that's a really important thing. I mean, so much needs to happen just in terms of conversation and discourse and beginning to engage with these ideas that can flow into actions like Wednesday and other actions in the future.
And do conversations and discourse represent power and an actual solution, or are they just symbolic?
No, I think they do represent power and an actual solution.
What makes you think so?
I mean, I can only say my own experience, what I've been seeing with everyone, is that when we begin to talk about things, that's the starting place for change, for taking action, for cooperatively working together on these kinds of issues. If we don't discuss things first, we can never work on them. If we don't collectively acknowledge that, say, there is a huge issue of hunger in our city, if we don't begin to have a conversation about that, we can never do anything about that. And so conversation is extremely powerful, and it's a really amazing place to then continue in a really long and evolving process of addressing some really, really serious problems that we're confronting.
Jim, I want to thank you very much for calling us this morning. We're going to
probably a century here.
We're going to let other people have a chance to talk right now. So thank you, Jim. But yeah, I'm really glad you're listening and engaging.
Yeah.
So about dialoguing, in fact, Blue Cross Blue Shield. There is a PR person who came out to address folks as the Blue Cross stop happened. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So, yes, as the Blue Cross, as we stopped at Blue Cross Blue Shield in downtown Portland, which is one of the corporations that's involved with ALEC, they well, I'll get to that later, but a gentleman came out in a suit and started to address the crowd as a representative from their public relations department and was kind of met with some hostility to begin with. And then he made the extraordinary announcement that Blue Cross was disassociating with the American Legislative Exchange Council, and of course the mood of the crowd changed radically, and people were excited and really, really into that. And then as we moved on, you know, the mainstream media that was there went and were talking with him, and as it turns out, he was actually not a PR person from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and was it was in fact a kind of a hoax, a bit of theater, and I think that, you know, some of the mainstream media folks were not super excited about it because they really kind of went for it. I mean, they really bid on it, and I think it's really important to understand like why actions like this are. Makes sense. And I think the reason is by doing this, by saying we Blue Cross Blue Shield are getting out of ALEC, we force them to state what they're actually doing, which is bad, which is saying like they have to then justify, oh no, we are part of this organization, and they have to say and kind of claim like why that is, because we've created the sense that they're not, and then they have to be like, no, we actually are doing this terrible thing, and here's how we're going to try and justify it. So it's drawing out this contradiction and forcing them to kind of give reasons that in these cases don't really exist for what they're doing, and to really make them also claim and acknowledge it, like, yeah, we are part of this really terrible thing. They did say that Blue Cross Blue Shield Oregon is not, you know, they said it's akin to the Trailblazers being part of the NBA, and so they're not really part of the American Legislative Exchange Council. And I would take issue with that.
That's,
you know,
not a good analogy.
That's not a good analogy, because the National Basketball, it's an association of which the Trailblazers
right.
are a member. And so I think that not good
Back
PR work
to
on that one. And so they very much are responsible for you know, the association that they're a member of. And if they're feeling that, you know, if they're feeling like that's not something they're into, then I encourage them to disassociate from the national organization and start off on their own path if they're not happy with what they're doing. But they are certainly accountable and culpable for the actions of the kind of national association.
And again, I love the sort of yes men esque.
Yes, I was going to say find yes men tactic, and I love
yeah,
yes, the,
yeah.
It's a. Tried true and fun.
So,
you know what? We've got another call.
We've got about 15 minutes left of the show. Don't delay. If you want to join us or comment, do call 503-231-8187. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn. We're joined with David Osborne in studio. And we may still hear from Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Phoenix. So let's go ahead and take the next call.
Hey, Roger.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, I wanted to congratulate you on what you're doing. I'm a former attorney public prosecutor. 35 years ago, I ran the consumer fraud department in the district attorney's office, and I've been fighting the corruption that's going on in our court system for a number of years, and I'm just so happy to see that you, what you're doing is turning the lights on. But what I would suggest is that you have an Occupy the Courthouse, because unless you have remedy, this is what people do not get. They have no legal remedy for what's happening, because when they get into that court system, they're turned upside down because they don't know how to proceed or process through that system. And so I wanted to encourage your listeners to become very concerned about what is going on in our court systems. I've had judges tell me that they saw the corruption coming into the court system years ago, and until you correct that, that is the key arena for protecting people's rights, where you, if you're injured, all of this that's going on is, there's statutes that preclude it. It's called conspiracy against the rights of citizens. This came on 50 years ago when King was in the South, and the federal government came in and created these statutes, these conspiracy mm-hmm. against the rights of the citizen. But unless you can go into the courtroom and make that a public record, I said it
right.
Is there
so I'm gonna just sort of jump on in for a moment, Roger.
Sure.
I think the idea of actually knowing what our rights are, asserting our rights, and making hidden statutes visible, all of those things are ways to, you know, of course, gain access and control of our system. David, I see you nodding.
Yeah, I mean, I would just, you know, add that I think that's one really important way of addressing injustice in our society, and I really encourage people to kind of organize around that and to be drawn into the different. I really encourage like people coming at the problems that we face of injustice, inequity, environmental destruction from different angles. But one thing I would like to offer is also thinking about how, you know, in many ways the system isn't broken, but it's built for someone else. It's not built for us. And just if I could just finish that thought, and then we can hear what y'all think about that, is just that, and what I mean by that is that in many ways, things are functioning exactly as they should. Profits are extraordinarily, there's this amazing concentration of wealth at the 1%. And so I think in some ways, you know, certainly for myself, it's also about thinking how we can create alternative institutions and create new forms of collective and cooperative power to create new kinds of systems that don't have profit as the most dominant and primary thing in our society, which is extremely problematic.
But listen to me critically on this, because people don't get it. Nothing is a legal fact, and you cannot force it, you cannot enforce something unless it's a legal fact. Nothing is a legal fact until it's typed up, date stamped, and filed with the clerk of the court. Well, and to make people understand that process, it's not rocket science, but they have to know that process so that they're not at the mercy of attorneys.
Okay, Roger.
Attorneys will not take on the system.
Thank you very much
for your call, Roger.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
you
I appreciate
too, Roger.
It. And real quick, if I just could, just to add one more thing, is that I think that what Roger was saying there is absolutely true, but I also really want us to be inspired to think about what is just, not just what is legal, and to use that as the basis for action and to use that as justification for action. We don't need to have things that, to wait for things to be, you know, the law, quote unquote, but also look for what is just and what is the right thing to do.
Yes, in a sociopathic society, that's a good idea. Now, we've got Mike on the line from Vancouver, WA, I'm presuming.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for the show. I think the expression, the system's not broken, it's fixed. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. not mine originally, but it's...
It's the second time it's been brought up this morning. We like it.
It mirrors what you were just saying, and that's so true. There's a good book that was something I actually handed to my investment retired father. You know, not wealthy, but right now his income is based on, you know, whatever investment and so forth and
sure.
equity that he has, and you can't begrudge people of that age. In that situation, from being conservative, and I don't mean politically conservative, I mean just literally conservative, because, you know, they're protecting what they have because that's all they have.
I begrudge no one from trying to actually, you know, sustain themselves
right.
in this you know, system.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, so that's neither here nor there. But how did you engage yesterday? What have you been focused on?
Thankfully, I've been a little busy, but I have the capability of listening to KBOO at least in the last half of the day. And most people don't have access to independent media like I do, because while I'm working, I can check in on all this stuff.
Well, if they go to KBOO.FM and put their little headphones on their computer at work, they can do that.
If they have one of those
jobs. If they have one of those jobs.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's just a suggestion. So did you have a question, Mike? Or a comment? Or?
I'm sure I get a lot of questions. Thank you for your efforts, that's for sure. And I hope you're enjoying it and dancing a little bit at the same time, wringing your hands, whether you know on what the consequences might be. So I appreciate both those aspects of it on your part, and also I know it cost him nothing personally, but maybe business-wise, I don't know. He did the right thing. One of the CEOs of Ben & Jerry's got on C-SPAN. I'm one of those weird people who actually watch C-SPAN to get the.
I know a few.
Mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
He went out there and really laid it out in plain English for people to understand what a lot of the Wall Street occupation movement is about, and the 99% used a lot of those expressions. But he really explained it well, and it repeats on C-SPAN once in a while this week, and it's interesting to see that, of course, knowing full well that nothing good comes from the top down. We got to keep moving. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Anne, let me tell you what's coming up this morning on KABU. We have, stay with us, 9 o'clock, APA Compass features the Tiger Mom, Yale professor Amy Chua, who instigated a worldwide parenting debate in her book, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. Tanka Lay, whose book Inside Out and Back Again is based on her life as a 10-year-old immigrant, and Gold Ann Salazar and Musa Ahmad, who share autobiographical stories from their performance of Race Monologues at Lewis and Clark College. So that'll be an action-packed hour. 10 o'clock, you can hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with the inimitable Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints features extended excerpts from WikiLeaks' Yes Men press release conference dealing with corporate lying, Bhopal, and the Middle East. That should be very interesting. At 11 o'clock, Shahid Hamid hosts It Takes a Village. And at 11:30, host Tammy Dean speaks with local artist, writer, illustrator, and storyteller Baba Wage about his upcoming talk, Fading from the Past, Ancient Mali and Beyond. He's got a workshop on why we tell stories. They're a part of the natural way Indigenous voices of the Earth and Spirit Council. KABU, thanks you very much, KABU members, for your generous support in recent membership drive. It's still possible. You too can become a member if you, in fact, missed it somehow. You can do it now. Maybe you just started listening and you're like, what is this? You're a little different. We are member supported. We are listener supported. We get our money from people like you so we can continue to be independent and give you information like this. So please go to our website if you are able to make a donation to KABU and click the tip jar in the upper right corner. The website, of course, is KABOO.FM. All right. Thanks for hanging through that. So we have no callers. We have only about 5 minutes left. So if you want to call, this is your moment to do it. And I wanted to talk to David again about, so there were several focuses for yesterday's actions. There was a stop outside McDonald's. There was a stop outside Verizon. There were several stops, as opposed to the earlier caller who really wanted to focus on y'all just did Wells Fargo. No, there were several businesses, corporations that are contributing to ALEC that were focuses. And again, the actions had that street theater element. So I for some of our last time together this morning, I wanted to look at where you think actions of the future, you're working with Portland Action Lab, you know, that street theater, the fun, the spectacle to engage people. Do you think that that is something that we should incorporate in the future?
Yeah, I think it's critical. And I think like bringing that playfulness, the kind of joy, the fun to these kinds of things is really important. On the one hand, it's like very, very serious. It's very intense. It's very like dark often. But though it's not contradictory to also be in those spaces and be joyful and playful. I mean, things are incredibly messed up, but life is still very beautiful and joyous. And I think like understanding how those are not contradictions, that
life
we can hold both of those at the same
thing,
time.
Yeah.
And and I think that element in these actions is in many ways kind of one of the more important things, just to be there together, to kind of feel what it's like to be with hundreds or thousands of other people that are collectively engaged in challenging corporate power, or whatever the case might be, and engage in playful kind of street theater or performance or kind of just joyously being with one another is incredibly empowering and connecting moving forward in the kind of long-term nature of this work. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's great to have continuing in the future. There's a lot of stuff coming up, and we tried to organize in a way way that intentionally looks forward to the spring, to May 1st here, to other actions within the context of this movement, and to really kind of use it as a springboard for folks to kind of really get engaged with what will hopefully be a really exciting spring where we can continue this movement and address issues of social justice.
For people that are interested in getting involved in future actions, Portland Action Lab, continuing onwards?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, much like after the November 17th Occupy the Banks action, we're going to have some kind of debriefing, you know, what went well, what could be better, what can we do that's really strategic and really kind of both builds a movement and also confronts issues of injustice. And then we'll kind of go through a planning process to think about what is the right time to do another thing. And folks are definitely welcome to engage with us at portlandactionlab.org. You can get on our email list so that you can hear about future opportunities to do trainings or come to one of our planning meetings or get involved in a variety of different ways.
And again, portlandactionlab.org. And we have one last caller. Let's go ahead and talk with Francesca before we leave this morning. Good morning, Francesca.
Good morning. This is a little bit off the subject, but I'm really amazed how few people know about the National Defense Authorization Act, especially those that are still drinking the Kool-Aid from Obama.
Sure.
And I was just wondering if those types of issues might be addressed with, you know, your organization.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Thanks very much for the question.
In 1 minute, okay.
Yes, the answer is absolutely. ALEC is actually involved with something called the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, which functions in a very similar way to suppress political dissent in that it calls and charges people with terrorism who infringe upon the profit of an animal-based business. So if you're photographing a factory farm, you're a terrorist. And this has been used to prosecute activists in different states in a similar kind of way of NDAA in that it takes away habeas corpus and really assaults fundamentally our ability to have dissent, which is so critical to our system. We also confronted that then, and we'll continue to do so in the future because those are extremely important issues.
And I know that there have been several marches sort of focused on the NDAA that have been organized out of and around Occupy over the last couple of months. I believe we will continue to engage those issues as, in fact, they do critically affect our lives. Thanks very much for listening. We are just about at the end of time. Thank you, David, for being on the air with us. I think it's super important. Again, I'm very thankful that we were able to hear from Brian and Justin this morning so that we can, in fact, see ourselves as part of this very large movement that is happening city by city around the country, people confronting our corporate masters and saying no more, ya basta. So thank you for doing what you're doing. And we implore you, dear listener, to continue to be positively revolting. We will be back with you very soon. So stay tuned.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Do those things, too. Good self-promotion, Lynn.
Thank you.
All right. And coming right up, APA Compass.
No more. No, I ain't. just get bored.